Welcome, Fortuna Nazarene Church. Wow, what a special weekend this is in remembrance of so many wonderful things that God has done and sacrifices that our people have put forward. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right. Brother, can I have you come up and start us in a wonderful opening prayer?
Amen. Good morning, church family. I've been gone a couple of weeks. It's wonderful to see all of your faces. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. Let us pray. In celebration for Monday, we pray for our past and present men and women who served in the military. Please keep them safe. And please be with Brother Vic today as he brings your message to us today. Amen.
Pastor Dave is going to lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance as our worship team comes up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with freedom and liberty. God bless America.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. We are so fortunate to be in a country that still recognizes that we have the freedom to worship God. I was just listening to the son of the guy who was the Hamas developer, and some of the things that come out of his mouth and the torture, the impact for the kids to have. It's nice to be in a country where we don't have that as a regular thing, so praise God. With that, wow, our worship choir. Praise God.
My country is a sweet, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried, from every mountainside, let freedom. My heart.
just invite you into our presence this morning. As we sing songs about our country, we know that you established it, Lord. We ask for your hand upon us. God, we just come to you this morning so thankful for the men and women who gave their lives. We remember them this week, this weekend, Lord, Monday. We thank you, God, for all that you've done to give us life and freedom here. Amen. Page 759 in your hymnal. It's going to be up there, too. We're going to sing verse 1, 3, and 4. We didn't put number 4 up there, so you know it, you might. America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above a fruited plains. America, America, God shed
Praise God that we have a country we can do this openly for now. And here we gather together to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who has moved into our hearts. The God that created this universe has moved into our hearts to be with every single one of you. And the enemy is always trying to tear that down, that relationship that we have with God. He won't let it go. He holds on to us with everything. And we just are praising God that He renews our mind to understand what really is important and what is not. There's such a beautiful relationship that our God has with us directly. All right, well, let me read from 1 John 2, starting with verse 1. My little children, I am writing to you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. Amazing. An advocate. Jesus is our advocate when we mess up. Every day, every moment. Pretty amazing. Praise God. So with that, could I have Pastor Vic come on up? I'm going to always call him Pastor Vic. This man loves Jesus in a way that just touches my heart.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful day to be a Christian. I was thinking, you know, what do I speak about that would be current, but yet would be so helpful as we go through life? And I started thinking about this, and I thought, Lord, help me to kind of share your heart in a way that people will have the hope and encouragement in walking each day for Jesus. And I have a couple stories I want to tell you. One of them is one of my characters that I follow in the Bible, Peter. Peter definitely had a lot of shortcomings, had a lot of strengths. But he was excited about Jesus, and then there were times he had problems with that. And I want to talk to you about that because I think it applies to us. But first of all, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him for this day and what He has done in our lives. Lord, I want to take the moment right now and just thank You that You're our Lord and our Savior. You stand before us. You have Your hand of protection over us. And I'm so grateful that You are our living Savior and our living hope. But today I'd like to take this moment and thank You, Lord, for our military. Thank You, Lord, for those men and women that serve. Thank You, Lord, for all that they've done for us and they are doing for us. Lord, I'd like to just remember those men, those that have maybe are sitting with us today and those that are on over in foreign lands. Lord, we pray You bring them home safely. Thank You for our military. And Lord, I want to thank You also for our first responders, our police, our fire department, the dispatchers, the MSs, Lord, those that are involved in helping us. Keep them safe, Lord, as they do their jobs and keep us safe. Lord, let Your hand be over this town of Fortuna. Lord, I pray Your hand to be over Hydesville, Ferndale, Eureka. Lord, and I pray that Your hand be over this state of California. And we pray, God, just bless America. And we thank You, Lord, for all that You do. And I pray for each one that's here today that, Lord, we walk out of here with a heart of enjoy, a heart of praise in our hearts, knowing that You take charge and You are in control of all things. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. And thank all of the military. I just thank all of you that have served and are serving, those that maybe are looking at the service in some part of service, whether it's fire, police. It's a very grateful thing that they take that role on. And it's like I said a few weeks ago, we don't understand what they carry from when they go to these things, and sometimes they're not as pretty as, you know, these first responders take quite a blow on humanity when they have to stand before these poor situations. And we just pray, Lord, protect their minds to where they don't have to live with that. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to open our Bibles, if we would, to Isaiah. And I want you to think of God in a way that I'm sure you have. But He's big. He's huge. He's got everything. He created the universe. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. And I read, and we look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and it says, the 40th chapter, the 28th verse, it says, "The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to His outstanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youth may become faint and weary, and the young men may stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." When you think of the vastness of God, He said something, if you just look across the page in my Bible, in the 41st verse, our chapter, in the 10th verse, He says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will hold on to you with my right hand." Isn't that unbelievable? The purpose that I was thinking of is, don't be discouraged. There's many things in our life that discourage us. Sometimes promises not met, grief, all kinds of things put us in a place where you sit here today, you think there's things going on in my life that nobody knows about. And they're big things, that some things I can't control, they're out of my control. Family members, there's all kinds of things that create sorrow in our hearts. But we have to look beyond. The only way we can look beyond these things is to realize there's a bigger force at work to help us through them. This is where God says, "My right hand, I support you. I put my strength into this. You don't have to worry." And so when I look at these things and I start thinking, I think it's important that we don't sell out. When I say that, if you serve God very long, sometimes... And I look at what Peter did, and I use him as an example. He walked with Jesus. Can you imagine what Peter felt like when he had walked with Jesus for 3 years? He had seen miracles. He's seen dead people rise. He's seen Jesus do all these wonderful things. And then... when it came down to the push came to shove, and he was put to the test, he denied Jesus. He said, "I never knew the man." Can you imagine how Peter felt in his heart? Remember, the Bible says when Peter said that, Jesus looked back at him. Can you imagine what Peter felt like? It said, he went away and he bitterly cried. Sometimes in our lives, we serve God And we may do stupid things that we feel like, my goodness, God don't even love me anymore. I've done too much. I want to encourage you because there's a scripture. Well, first of all, Jesus tried to warn Peter, didn't he? He actually gave him a warning. And I think it's in, he warned him in Luke. And it's the 22nd chapter, the 31st verse. He said, Simon, Simon, look out. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, and your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned back, because he already knew something was going to happen, didn't he? When you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Lord, he told him, and isn't this like us? Lord, I'm with you all the way. He said this, he said, I tell you, what Peter said is, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go to you in death. And I tell you, Peter, Jesus said, that rooster will crow today until you've denied me three times. So, Peter, you know Peter's love was strong for Jesus. You know he loved him so much. Remember that very night he took off a guard's ear. He was ready to fight to the death. He meant it. But when the pressure got too great, Jesus was trying to tell him, Peter, I understand you. I know you. But you're going to fail. You're going to fail in a terrible way. But he said, but I prayed for you, and you're going to get through this. But you know, can you imagine? I put it up. At Jesus' resurrection, things changed a lot of things. Can you imagine Peter when how sad he must have been when he seen Jesus taken away? And you know what he never was able to say? I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we don't realize that when we make a terrible mistake, we want to say, I'm sorry. He never had that opportunity. So can you imagine how he must have felt in his heart? He denied this person. He told him the very same day, I'll go to prison with you. I'll die with you. Not going to happen. He wasn't strong enough in himself to make that happen. Jesus knew that. He knows that in you. When we fail, he knows that we need him. We need to look to him. And that's one of the things that I have always felt. One of the things that's hard, because I was raised up in a hellfire and brimstone community and religion. So, you know, you could turn or burn. But yet, on the other hand, it worked against you in one sense, because you could almost feel like you were never good enough. And we're not. But Jesus is. And that's what he said. He said, my right hand is strong. I can take care of you through these things. So as we look at this, we see that Peter was so sorrowful. He was hurting, but he got some good news. And this is the one thing I want you to look at. It's Mark 16:7. This is some really good news. And I looked at this and I thought, wouldn't it have been nice if this would happen to where we would feel this in our lives? But what happened was, can you imagine how Peter must have felt after he did this? You know, he'd feeling terrible. And he kind of probably stayed on the outcast. He felt like, I'm undeserving. I blew it big time. I don't even have a choice. I mean, I literally denied my Savior. But there was some great news that came to Peter. And it came in two words. And let's look at Mark 16. Let me make sure I'm right here. 16:7. This is when Mary went to the tomb. And it's the seventh verse. Let me get here. But go tell my disciples. What happened was, they said, where's Jesus? Have you taken him away? They said, and the angel sitting there says, no, he is risen. He is risen. But he's going to come. But he says in the sixth verse, don't be alarmed, he told them. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. So the place where they put him. Go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you, and you will see him there just as he told you. Can you imagine Peter saying, say that again? Would you say that again? And he said, and go tell Peter. This is something that we need as people to realize. Jesus is never through with you. Even though we may feel, I've done some stupid things and I've been a Christian and done stupid things, God's not through with you. He didn't say, this angel didn't say, go get John. He didn't say, go get Thomas, or he didn't say, go get James. He said, no, go get Peter. He knew Peter needed to be encouraged. Peter needed somebody to, hey, Peter, you're going to be okay. I know you feel like you've done everything that you could do. Peter would probably argued with Paul when Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I think Peter would have said, no, I think I deserve that spot. But see, we can say that in our lives too at times. No, I deserve that spot. But this is where Jesus, he stood up and he took Peter aside, you know, and he talked to Peter and he got it straightened out with Peter. And then one of the things that he did with Peter, remember he said, Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, Peter was not for that. No way. But you remember when Jesus restored Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? This was after he was restored. And you know how much Peter must have loved him. He said, go feed my sheep. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And what did he do? He went and he said, go feed my lambs. He asked him a third time. And you know what Peter, you know, he had already been crumbled from his sin. He said, he just broke down and said, Lord, you know everything. You know, I love you. But what it was is Jesus was showing him. He denied Jesus three times. Three times Jesus said, I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. And sometimes we need to realize that Jesus is not beating us up, but he's encouraging us. How do we encourage one another to be more like Jesus? We do it through the art of compliment. We do it when we're praising one another. When we see somebody has got something wonderful that God did for them, we say, man, that's so awesome. Or if we see somebody that's maybe not doing so good, but yet you say, you know what? Jesus is here to help you. And he said, I'm going to come right along beside you. I heard the message that about what do we do when Jesus comes alongside of us. You feel pretty comfortable. You know, when he throws his arm around you, you can feel safe. But what happens is a lot of people are in places that they say, I don't feel safe. I feel fear. I feel all these things. And this is the area that we I look at what the scripture says. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. It says, encourage one another in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another. If you see someone that is, they're having things in their life that are, they're hurting, encourage them. I had a situation in my life where my mom had left us and she, and I was about 12 years old and it hurt me really bad because I loved her with all my heart. And she left and I loved her with a real strong love. I mean, it was, and when she left us, I hated her. She hurt me so bad that love turned to hate. And what was sad with this was I had determined that she'll never hurt me again. If she ever comes back, I'm not going to love her. I went through life and this was a long time. She used to cry and when she came back, that was not the right decision. She made a poor choice. But as a young man that loved her mother, that loved his mother, I could not bring myself to love her. She's not going to hurt me again. And my protection was build a wall. I had a man, I was in the church and I was praying and he came up and he put his arm around me and I'm praying and nothing's happening because I didn't have forgiveness for my mom in my heart. You know, I'm praying, but when anybody would bring her up, I was mad immediately. You know, I was like, I know how to protect myself. Don't talk to me. And he told me, I don't know if you knew him. He was a fisherman. He had a big old deep voice and he used to drive milk truck, but he was a fisherman too. His name was Harry Manning. And he had this big old voice and he said, Vic, I just need to ask you something. Have you ever forgive your mother? And I was like, don't even talk. You know what I mean? I felt like, no way, don't even. But you know, what happened to me was God had to break down those bricks one at a time. I had to let her into my life a little at a time. But I thank God that someone, when I was hurting, came up and put their arm around me and said, hey, I'll walk this walk with you, but you got to let God in. You know, sometimes we hurt bad enough, we don't want God in, we don't want anybody in. We've learned how to, but that's not right because you're always living with that. You never get away with it. You have to give it up. And this is where encouragement, when you are around people that are hurting that bad, it takes a long time sometimes to break those walls. It took one brick at a time. One brick at a time had to come down. But over the years, I was able to love my mom again. Wonderful thing. And she was taken from us at a very early age. And I thank God that she didn't go to the grave. It's like Jesus went to the grave and Peter could never tell him he was sorry. But one of the great things was Jesus was resurrected, so he had a chance. But see, some of us don't. And we carry that. But Jesus don't want us to. He says, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. So that's where if we haven't been able to make those things right and things have happened, sometimes we say things that we're very sorry for. That's why it says, be very careful of what we say. You know, words are something that you can't take back. And it says that, you know, be quick to hear, but slow to speak. So sometimes it's better to not say anything at all. Now, I'll say this. My wife is very good at that, and I'm not. You know, when she gets upset, she don't say nothing, and I want her to talk. But you know, sometimes it's better to say a little. Because, you know, I want to fix things, but by fixing them, a lot of times I just make them worse. But if I could just be quiet. So when I say that, we want to encourage one another. And Romans says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have this beloved hope. So what it says, my God is a God of hope. And if we allow him to take charge, sometimes we have to put Jesus in those spots. And we have to encourage people when they're hurting so bad, because you can't fix their hurt. But you can encourage them to know the Jesus that can fix their hurt. You know, I kind of dumped on Peter a little bit because you know what he went through. And we look at, when you look at Peter, you look at him and you see all that he did. The last words they heard out of Peter's mouth before he went away was denial from a friend. Can you imagine how that must have felt? Jesus knew it was going to happen. That's one of the things that makes it different from us and Jesus. Jesus already knew what was going to happen with Peter. But yet Peter didn't know that. Peter was probably out of his mind with grief. You know, it's like, oh. It says, hope. It says, the Lord shows that there is hope for us even at the worst moments of our failure. You think about that. The Lord shows us that there is hope for us even at our worst moment of failure. He shows us. He says, I'm there. There is no failure that can separate us from the risen Savior. God loves us, and his love is always greater than our failures. I failed the Lord in many ways over the years. Not that I'm very proud of it, but I come back and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I think of Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this craziness that's inside of me? Only Jesus. Only Jesus can make that difference. For whatever was written before, in Romans it says, for whatever was written in the former days was written for the instruction that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. So what he was saying, through the Scriptures, the Bible is full of encouragement. It's full. It is the book you want to go to if you want encouragement. Jesus, in God's Word, always was encouraging. I looked at the this one scripture. I told you I wrote it down when you preached it. Isaiah 43:2 says this, and I tell you what, this hit me right between the eyes. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, thou shalt not be overwhelmed, you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And through the flames, you shall not be consumed. I feel like sometimes we walk through the fire. We walk in areas, and that's when we need to get out and say, Jesus, you're the one. You're my hope. You're the one that I'm going to put all my trust in. And we think, well, you know what? That might seem really great to you, Vic, but I'm going through a situation where I need more than that. We don't need more than that, but what we do need is people that will come up beside us and share and show us Jesus through our lives. When we start showing Jesus and start pointing people to Jesus, they start getting well. When you start saying, hey, let me just encourage you in Jesus. How many of you have had situations in your life that you've gone through and you've got through it, and somebody is going through the very same thing, and you know how you were able to get through it? What better people to encourage somebody than with somebody that's walked through the walk? That's why Jesus tells us to encourage one another, strengthen one another. So if you have situations and you've got through them, you encourage that next person. I heard a statistic, and they said most people have these frustrations inside of them. They're frustrations of fear. There's frustrations of unanswered promises that, you know, they feel like, well, maybe I should have this in my life, or I should have that in my life. And you feel like, well, they haven't been answered. But what we do is, instead of looking at what we don't have, what the Bible says, look at what you do have. Look at the things that God has blessed us with. Sometimes I had a lady tell me, if I only had a car, that would make my life just wonderful. And I thought, do you have a job? Well, no. I said, well, how are you going to put gas in that car? How are you going to pay the insurance for that car? That car is going to be nothing but a burden to you. But see, on their eyes, it's like, that's what's going to make me happy. That's not what makes us happy. What makes us happy is when we become content at where we are and say, Jesus, I'm looking forward to what you have to do in my life next. I want to tell you a story. I'm kind of jumping around here. I don't mean to, but I hope that it's giving you something here. One of the things it says is, let people know that you believe in them. Right. Have you ever been around people that said, I believe in you? When you're feeling like, I'm not worth nothing, they said, no, I believe in you. Assume people who are disappointed and let them know that's not the end of their story. Right. You know, they may be disappointed now, but you know what? There's opportunities coming that can change everything. It may not be that thing, but there's other areas in your life that you can improve on. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on what you do have. You know? Commit to setting a Christ-like example every day and in all situations. Wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Jesus, I just want to be like you. I just want to imitate you today. And by doing that, it might be you go to your husband and say, I love you. Thank you for working today, or I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. You might not totally appreciate everything they do, but you know, it's good to enforce positives in each one of our lives. The art of compliment is unbelievable. When you have people that go, man, that's a beautiful blouse. I mean, you look fantastic today. Look at that. You just are looking great. I see aura about you. I see that shine that God has. You know, these are the things. I am a sucker for a compliment. My wife will tell you, hear that? Got the first amen out of her today. Duly noted. This is something that we need. You need to be praised. You need to be encouraged. When I say that, it's like my wife will say, you just didn't get enough, did you? I just keep pulling for some more. But you know what? We all need to be appreciated. Every one of you needs to say, hey, you're okay. I think you're pretty cool. You know, I enjoy your attitude. I like the way that you express yourself. But see, this is what we need as Christians. It says, what do we do? Build each other up. How do we do that? Man, I just appreciate you. I got a card in the mail. Our church is wonderful at doing that. I get this beautiful card in the mail. And it was so encouraging. And we don't think about that sometimes, but just writing a little card to somebody and say, hey, I appreciate you. You know, I enjoy just sitting next to you in church. It's amazing what that'll do. It can lift you out of a terrible situation just by some little thing that you do and don't even think about it. When you're in a store and you see one of these people at the counter that's taking care of you, and you can see it's kind of been a rough day, say, man, I just appreciate you helping me today. I just wanted to tell you, thank you. It's like, it just kicks them out of that. And that's what we need too, don't we? It's like we need to be kicked out of that. This is what Jesus, what that angel did when Mary and them were so sad. Where's the Jesus? They said, well, he's here. He's risen. You're going to see him. He's going to be on the road. But he said, and go get Peter. Can you imagine? Peter was in a terrible place. But yet, when he said that, it's almost like, tell me again. He wants me to be a part of this? I just blew it. So no, that's what he said, Peter. He said, you. And you know what? It was like the other disciples, if you think about it, they weren't really following Jesus either when he denied. Where were they? You know, John was the only one that actually hung in there a little bit. But the rest of them kind of scattered and did their own things. Then Jesus brought them back together, and when he did, they never left him again. But it was just the fact that we have to do that. I was going to tell you a story, and I got to see if I can find it here. There's a story, and I'm telling it because it was done in 1929, so probably none of you remember it. So if I tell it wrong, I thought I'm pretty safe. This is a story about a young man. He was playing football. On New Year's Day in 1929, Georgia Tech was playing the University of California in the Rose Bowl. Roy Riggles was on the team in California, and then there was a fumble, and he picked up the fumble, and he took off running with it, and he was running to the wrong goal. One of his teammates ran and tackled him before he got to the goal line. And the humiliation that this man felt. And so what happened was, it was at halftime, and they all went in the I call it a dugout, whatever it is they go to, and they're sitting in the locker room. And the coach, there's people thinking, outside thought, what is Coach Price going to do with this Roy Riggles after he did that? You know, what's the punishment going to be? Well, all the men, they were in there, and there wasn't a word said. Coach generally was kicking them in gear for the second half. Never said a word. And when the guy came in and said, there's 3 minutes and you guys need to be out on the field. So they got up. And when he did, the coach said, we're going to have exactly the same people that were in the first team went out, or it's going to be the same ones that go out in the second. So they all jumped up and they went out. Roy Riggles stayed right in his seat. The coach looked back and says, hey, Roy, come on. Let's go. He didn't leave. He's just sitting there. But prior to this, when he went into the dugout or whatever it was, he said he pulled this kind of a, I don't know if it was this coat or whatever over his kind of over his head, and he just had his hands in his lap, and he was crying. You know, he felt so bad. And the coach said, you know, he told him again, and he didn't move. And he walked over and sat by him, and he said, "Did you hear me?" I said, "The first team, you're on it. You get out there and play." He said, "I can't." He said, "I can't do it." He said, "I've let you down. I've let the team down." He said, "There's no way I can go out there." And the coach said, "You go out there. We got the second half to play." And he went out there and he played. And this is what was said. Perhaps you have never, that Regal went back and the tech men that were doing the game and talking about it said they had never seen a man play football as Roy Rigger played. I don't know why I do that. The second half. He gave it his all. But you know what? This is what we have to do. When we blow it, we're in the first half. There's a second half. So I want to encourage you to always think. You know, even though I've made mistakes, Jesus is there. He wants us to ask forgiveness. He's not going to. We reap what we sow, too. I can't tell you that we don't have to reap things that we sow. And I think, oh, Lord, be merciful to me. But on the other hand, there's the second half. There's a way. Don't ever think that you can't get up and go. What did he do with Peter? Peter was the same way. He was down and out. But what happened when Jesus accepted him back? There was 5,000 that give their hearts to the Lord. Peter became a powerhouse for God because he understood his weakness and he understood his strength. His strength was Jesus. He could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He knew then that there was nothing too hard that he would never get through again because he had done the worst. And he said, "I'll never do that again." But there was a second half. And that's where he gave it all to Jesus. I just want to encourage you today just to remember the scripture says, when I pass through the water, he will be there. When I pass through the river, I won't be moved. When I go through the fire, I won't be burned. Just remember that Jesus is there to take you through these areas. He didn't say you wouldn't go through them. He didn't say that, but he said he'll be with you. And what did he say? "I'll take my right hand and hold you up and strengthen you and encourage you." So I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here, and there's situations in your life that maybe you've really blown it. As a Christian, you just think, don't stop there. Just go back to the cross and say, "Jesus, help me." And if you know somebody that's there, you pull up beside them, put your arm around them, encourage them, and say, "You know, you're worth something. You're worth something." And sometimes people, they take everything as their fault. It's not your fault. Sometimes we do things that are, but there's a lot of things that happen that we go into grief. It's not our fault. And that's one of the things that's so hard for us to accept. We want to carry things that we shouldn't be carrying. That's when Jesus says, "Don't do that. That's why I'm here. I got big shoulders. I can carry this stuff." Amen. And that's why we cast that on him. Lord, I thank you for today. I pray that as we go through life, that you'll just encourage us to be stronger in you. And when we see someone that isn't, to step up beside them and say, "How can I be someone that can encourage and motivate to serve Jesus in a higher capacity, that we always strive to be better each day for you." Lord, I thank you for this day, and I just pray that you just encourage the hearts of those that are here, that they will be able to stand up and say, "You know what? No matter what I've done, Jesus, you're there and you've helped me. You give me a lifeline and I'm taking it." In your precious name I pray. Amen.
I'm glad you do that, brother. Those stories come to life. They have such real meaning. And praise God for that. So as you enjoy the rest of your Memorial weekend, look for those around you who need that encouragement, that care, that love. Let Jesus shine through you. And know that He is in here. You're that important to Him. All right. Enjoy your weekend. God bless you.